message received.
Hey everyone, Jeff here from HireTrustMarketing.com and InfoMarketerZone.com for another issue of the Online Business Platinum Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Stoked about this episode. I have a special guest, and we don't bring many guests on the radio show, but this week I came across Jim Palmer, who runs the Dream Business Academy and has been building a business for several years that I really, you know, respected the information and thought it would be useful for you guys to hear just simply because of the background. And Jim will get into it in the interview, so I'm going to go over to that next. But I just want to give you a quick intro. He's a marketing and business building expert and demand coach. He's the founder of Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. He also has his own TV network or TV show, Dream Business TV, web TV show. Has a podcast, Stick Like Glue Radio Podcast. Previously created a product called The Newsletter Guru and No Hassle Newsletters, but has also written a number of other books. His latest book is The Ultimate Success Trigger. It's called Decide. And really powerful stuff. And actually, Jim, near the end of the podcast, gives our audience, gives you a free copy of that book. And all you need to do is pay for shipping and handling. It's a 200-page book, and I've had a preview look at that book, and there's some awesome advice there based specifically on his background and the ability for him to get out of a solopreneur sort of mode, building a first business that he built for 5 years and found that it wasn't really the right type of business, and his experience getting into a much more leveraged larger scale business he's been building ever since. So really, really powerful stuff. And I'm going to just transition right now and let you hear from Jim himself. This is an awesome interview. Lots of great points, very fast moving. You know, for the next 20 or 30 minutes, you're going to hear concrete information you can apply to your business. So I want to thank Jim once again for visiting on the podcast. You can see Jim's site and get a lot of free content from him over at www.getjimpalmer.com. And with that, I will let you listen to the interview. Hey, it's Jeff here back from the Online Business Platinum Podcast with today's guest, Jim Palmer from getjimpalmer.com. Now, Jim is an omnipresent business coach, entrepreneur, author, speaker, social media presence, and more. But most important, Jim has some excellent advice on helping us get the dream life. Jim, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Jeff, how you doing today?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about the dream life.
It's something we all strive for. You know, it's hard to know if we ever quite get there, but it's a good pursuit.
Yeah, exactly. And what I really like about your background is, you know, you've lived it. This isn't theory. So let's start off there. Actually, I wonder if you can start off with just sort of level setting, describing what your business is today, what your focus is, and maybe a little bit about how you got here.
Yeah, so I was 41 years old in 2000. My dream had always been to be a VP by the time I was 40, just some goal, and I made that. And then a year after that, being a VP of marketing, my position was eliminated, as they say, and I found myself out of work for literally 15 months. And that really was quite devastating on a family. I was the sole breadwinner for the most part. We had four teenagers at home, and a year into that, it's kind of what I refer to, Jeff, as my season of crises. A year into that, I was diagnosed with cancer. So I had 15 months of a pretty dismal situation. In October of 2001, you know, I was at such a low point, decided really the only way to go is up. And that's when I really got the idea to start a business. And the first 5 years of that business, we'd grown into multiple six figures, but really discovered through a question my wife asked me that I had really been building the wrong business model. And people are probably wondering what the question is. And 5 years into it, she goes, "Hey, Jim, when are we going on vacation? We haven't been on vacation in like 6 years now." And it was at that point, Jeff, when I realized I could afford a vacation, but I couldn't afford to be away from my business for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks. And because I was doing everything, you know, like so many people, they take their skill and talent, they create a business, but in reality, they just create a job. They just happen to own the business. And that was the opposite of what you mentioned earlier. That was not the lifestyle I wanted. And so I started reinventing myself and discovered internet marketing, direct response marketing, the power of leverage, started my second business, No Hassle Newsletters, and kind of grew that. Actually hundreds of clients in 9 different countries. From there, I opened a concierge print and mail on demand print business, No Hassle Social Media, a bunch of other smaller, like Pinterest graphics type businesses. And then 7 years ago is when I launched my coaching practice. And today market that under, as you, I think I mentioned, the Dream Business Coaching. And I run a live event called Dream Business Academy. So I think that catches us up in a couple minutes.
Wow. Cool. So that's a ton of stuff. It's the first thing I noticed, visiting your sites is you're just into so many different areas. And I want to come back to that in just a minute to talk a little bit about how you get so much done and sort of if you really suggest that people head off in all those different directions and indeed, you know, what your strategy is for having all of those. But let's first start off maybe by digging into that transition you made from your first business that you call wasn't your dream business to your dream business, and maybe just let people know out there, because there's a lot of people listening, I'm sure, that they are starting that first business, or they're starting as a solopreneur, they're starting, you know, they've got the ambition and they're digging in and they're maybe earning a little bit of initial income, but what lies ahead for them, you know, given the lessons that you speak to?
You know, the thing is, I read or heard somewhere where if you want to earn $1 million, you need to be worth $400 an hour. And for easy math, that is, okay, let's say you're going to work 50 weeks a year and you're going to work 50 hours a week, which is a dream for most business owners. But just for easy math, that means you have to earn $400 an hour. And so the point is that if you're doing things in your business, like if you're if I'm writing the newsletters in my case, or if I'm designing them, if I'm updating the website, if I'm managing the database, the mailing list, all that stuff that is what I would consider task oriented that you could train somebody for and pay them anywhere from 10, 20, 30, 40, even $50 an hour. If you're doing that work, that's how much you are worth, right? And so there is a chapter in my book. It's called Decide to Delegate or Stay Small Forever. And that's really probably the biggest linchpin that small business owners need to make, because in their mind, it's like, I can do it better, cheaper, faster, and more efficient than anybody. And besides, I don't want to pay somebody to do that because I'd rather keep that money myself. What the real answer is you're shortchanging yourself, because you're never going to get to the what I call high revenue generating activity if you're doing all that low activity. So for me, I mean, if I fast forward to my business today, I have like a team of 11 virtual assistants that pretty much take care of the newsletters, the printing, the social media, and the other things. And for 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I am booked back to back on coaching calls and interviews. I have no calls Monday or Friday. I kind of call it my bookend schedule. And in the winter, I'm in Philadelphia. So when it's cold in the winter, I'm usually creating a ton of content because I can do it knowing I have no interruptions. In the summertime, I like to play on my boat with either a 3-day or 4-day weekend. And so that means all I'm doing on those 3 days is work that is high revenue generating activity. And I let go of the other things. I train, but then I empower and I let go of all those task oriented things.
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And I think there's a lot of people I talk to where they haven't gotten to that phase yet of understanding what are the high revenue generating activities and indeed, you know, which ones of those do they have strengths in and skill sets in. I'm assuming that was a big realization for you when you made that transition, is you had to sort of sit down and say, okay, you know, what really is important here and you know, what can I do best? What can my role be in here that is most productive and most useful for the business?
You know, what's interesting, Jeff, is that people don't sometimes know what they need to do if I was to get an assistant. And that's kind of the conundrum, if you will, it feels like you're putting the cart before the horse, because I know I need it, but I don't know if I have the money for it. But then I don't know, what am I going to do with my time? Well, when I got my first virtual assistant, I think it was 2006 or 7, it was a very part-time situation. I have no W-2 employees. It's all 1099 contractors. And suddenly I when I started my business, Jeff, I built my website myself. I think I used something, what was that called? Oh, Front Page, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. I think it took me like 3 weeks and it still looked like a hunk of crap. Mm-hmm. But those 3 weeks, I suddenly, when I brought him on, I said, I need you to upgrade my presence because it looks like holy crap. And so he did that. And then I suddenly found myself, okay, hey, I have an hour today. What am I going to do? That's when I started writing my first book. So there are things that you need to do as an entrepreneur to build your brand and establish your credibility and put out great content. That's going to bring in more revenue and hopefully make you more money. But a lot of those things are pretty big things that never seem to get done because you're so task-oriented. Sometimes when I speak out live, sometimes I say, stop being a fireman in your business. Stop. All you do is you go to work and you put out fires all day, one little fire after another. You need to be in proactive growth engagement mode.
Right. Yeah, that's the important term, is growth. Like being able to focus on those areas of growth, that absolutely makes sense for sure. Let's actually segue, I think this is a good segue, into the multiple streams of revenue. And when I look at your business, just from the outside looking in, you know, you see the books, you see the coaching programs, you see the offsite events. So obviously there's a number of different revenue streams here. Maybe share your reasons for doing that and whether you see those playing one off the other and how you got into each of those, and maybe, you know, finishing up with how can other people or should other people follow your lead?
Sure. And you know, you could describe them both ways, as revenue streams or as marketing streams, which leads to more revenue. Mm-hmm. You see, one of the things that, I mean, the society that we live in today is content driven, especially if you're a business owner. It's how am I going to stand out from the masses? How am I going to be standing out from all the other dentists, doctors, lawyers, carpet cleaners, you know, landscapers, coaches, whatever? You have to stand out. You have to create a brand. And then you build that brand based on putting out great content. The content can take the shape of books. It can take the speeches, webinars, teleseminars, social media, videos, podcasts, being a guest, podcasts, being a host, and probably half a dozen things I'm not even mentioning right now. But you say, well, I don't have time to do all that. Well, that may be true, but you got to pick the best use of your time. But Jeff, what happens is people consume information in different ways. I know people who just love podcasts. They do like listen to podcasts. They're on the background all day long, but they don't really go and watch YouTube that much. They listen. Oh, I guess that makes them an auditory listener or something, right? Or learner. Right. But there's people who like, I am consumed with YouTube. I mean, I learned how to drive my boat on YouTube before I even got it. Yeah. You can learn anything on YouTube, right? Then there's people who like to read books. So in the world of books, some people like to hold a book. I like my bookshelf full of books. Some people prefer the Kindle. So to the degree that you can feed people content on all these different levels will bring more people under your tent and therefore turn them in from, you know, from a prospect into a customer. Now, as far as the revenue streams, what I did when I created No Hassle Newsletters was my first business where I was writing and designing newsletters for all local clients and chambers and nonprofits, associations and things like that. One of the things they kept telling me, Jeff, was that, hey, Jim, one of the reasons you're here is we never know what to put in our newsletter. So I was always providing content and writing articles and kind of filler articles or something like that. And when I launched No Hassle Newsletters, it was nothing but a content program. So people who were doing newsletters all over the country would subscribe for a monthly basis and get all this content that I was writing. So that's how it started. In 2009, when I launched my first book, The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, I talked about the different ways to design a newsletter, how to create a masthead and things like that. People started asking me about, who do you recommend for a designer? Who should create these templates? It was right about that time when I created this little expression in my head. I said, I can make a referral or I could create a revenue stream. And so I basically created these, what I call done-for-you templates, and added those to the program. I increased the price for the monthly fee and started getting more subscribers. And kind of a long story short is then a couple people asked me, well, can you recommend a good printer? Because my local printer likes to tri-fold them. I know you like to bi-fold them. And there's a couple different things I suggested in my book. And again, I said, well, I could make a referral or I could create a revenue stream. In 30 days, I launched the Concierge Print Mail on Demand program. Now we print like 40,000 newsletters a month. And it just goes from there. My biggest point, I think, in this story is if you listen to what your customers are saying, and sometimes they'll say things and not even phrase it like an ask, but if you sense a pain point for them or a problem, if you can solve that problem, you're going to have a new revenue stream.
Exactly. Yeah. And that it goes back to the sort of the notion that if someone's sitting out there with an idea, they're just not positive it's going to work yet. They're maybe they don't have it all figured out. They don't have back-end products. The key is just get started and sort of take their feedback from the market and roll that in sort of iteratively, right? And build their business, you know, based on the demand that they see from the market.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of niching. And so if you say, well, look at all Jim's doing, but you know what? It's all within the same client base, right? Mm. So the printing business supports, or I should say No Hassle Newsletter supports my printing business for the most part. I have a couple people that just come to me through the website, but most of the people, probably 80 or 90% of them, are No Hassle Newsletter customers. I'm just being an outlet for them to print with me instead of printing somewhere else. I thought, well, that's pretty smart. And then with the content for No Hassle Newsletters, those are the same writers for the most part, creating that kind of social media content, blog posts and stuff, that are writing articles for my newsletter. So I'm keeping those people happy. I'm a much more important client because I'm taking much more of their time. They're giving me better pricing. So that's a win-win. But people who are interested in newsletter marketing or social media are vice versa going to be interested in either one, because that means they're looking to marketing and growing their business. And then most of the people, I should say a lot of the people that have come to, through my coaching program knew me through one of the other programs. Maybe they heard me speak. Maybe they bought a book. So it all kind of works together, if you will. Yeah. But in terms of multiple streams of revenue, you don't want to be you don't want to be a landscaper. You don't also want to be you know, a dentist. I mean, things that are totally incongruent with each other. It's not that you probably can't do them, but it's going to be a – I mean, why would you want to row that hard, you know, to create that new business?
Absolutely. Yep. Understood. Staying within the same niche makes so much sense, and that feedback, like you say, will feed into – if you stay with the business long enough and you really do serve your customers and stay engaged, you're going to get more ideas than you can ever hope to execute on. So as long as you can keep sort of engaged with your market and keep feeding them value, they'll tell you what they want next.
And, you know, two more things. So one of the things I teach about the power of a customer newsletter is the power of what else. And I put what else in my finger quotes, right? So if somebody comes to you, no matter what you're doing, no matter, think about whatever your listeners do, and they come to you and they buy a product or a service. Most people listening to your show, Jeff, probably offer multiple things, right? Multiple services, different products. Whose job is it to tell that customer who already, by way of even the initial transaction, said, I know I can trust you enough to buy this or hire you to do this. Whose job is it to take that customer and show them all the other things that you do? I mean, I'm sure we've all done this. We've been to a holiday party, a networking event, and somebody said, hey, I just did this, by the way, or I just had this program installed or new computers in my office. And you say, well, why didn't you give me a chance to bid on that? And the common answer is, well, I didn't know you did that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a way, that's why newsletters work. But it's also, my other point is, the most expensive thing most businesses have is the cost of customer acquisition. So if you do acquire a customer through one part of your business, you should introduce them to all the other parts of your business, because it's going to be an easier sale and it'll be a more profitable sale.
Yep, exactly. And not get spread wide trying to start off in another direction, another market, and while you haven't served the first one completely yet, for sure.
Yep.
Excellent. Let's go back to your Decide book, The Ultimate Success Trigger. Can you sort of just give us an overview of what led to that book, and maybe talk about a couple of the decisions that you include in that book that are so critical to getting people going and on the track to living their dream life?
Sure. So I finished writing my fifth book called Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier, Create Your Dream Business Now. And there's one part of my live event. It's kind of the last piece where I share Jim's success principles. These are things that are business related, but also kind of how I work, live my life, and how I structure my day and things like that. So I'm sharing these things. At the end of the event, a couple people came up to me and said, "Boy, you ought to share some of these. Because a lot of it's mindset. You know, we need to be very, very protective of our mindset. It controls how much success we have, really." Mm-hmm. And he said, "You got to write another book." And, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you ever wrote a book, but the last after you finish a book, it's like it's a big deal. And you get tired. And I'm like, "I don't want to write another book." Well, two or three people later kept saying, "Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that." So I'm a big fan of listening for the signs, right? So, you know, not going past the milepost without paying attention. So enough people started asking me to do kind of a mindset book. So that's what I started doing with Decide. And what I did is I kind of did a little bit of a deep dive. I got really kind of vulnerable in a lot of these chapters because as I'm sharing some of these decision points that we make, you know, about not being an imposter, or, you know, decide to delegate or stay small, deciding to be immune to criticizing, deciding not to be perfect. These are all things that hold back. They're like growth inhibitors. So in the book, each chapter I talk about, this is what I was doing, this is how I got over it. I'll kind of give you an example here. To decide not to be perfect. So many people choose inaction because they feel like whatever they're offering is not fully ready, it's not fully edited, it's not fully vetted, or whatever it is, they're afraid to move forward because for fear it's imperfect. And I was that way. When I wrote my first book, it took me 18 months. And I actually wrote the book in a little less than a year, and all the rest of that time was I was trying to find more and more editors and proofreaders, because God forbid I put that book out, my name's on the cover, and I want people going, "What a boob, you can't even write," you know, mm-hmm. you know, all the head trash that goes on. Right. Now, I wrote my last two books in 60 days, and I launched them fully knowing that even though, you know, I have like a team of proofreaders and stuff, even though when that book got launched, even the Decide book, I know full well there's probably a mistake in there. There's a missing comma, or it says S-U-N instead of S-O-N, or, you know, there's something like that. And the decision point, so this is what people can do if they're saying, "Yeah, I feel it. I don't want to put anything out if it's not perfect." The decision is you have to choose as an entrepreneur to be judged on the value of the content and the information that you're sharing, and not the imperfect way in which you're sharing it. So whether it is a book, or whether it's a video, or doing interviews like I'm doing now, I'm quite certain I use bad grammar somewhere in the interview already, right? But I choose to be judged on the value of the content, of the information, and the value that I'm providing, not the imperfect way in which I provide it. And when you make that decision, it says to yourself, "Okay, I'm going to put this out there. I know somebody's going to have their way with it." And believe me, people will send you an email and say, "Oh, Jim, hey, I thought you'd like to know on page 189, there's a dangling participle." Well, I have no idea. I say that jokingly, but it actually happened. And mm-hmm. to this day, Jeff, I have no idea what a dangling participle is, but I just simply respond, "I hope you got some good value out of the book." "Oh, yeah, it was great. Got a lot." So, you know, there you go. He just wanted to point out, you know, what a dangling participle is, but he did enjoy the content of the book. So that's a decision. That's a decision point that entrepreneurs need to make. It will allow them to do more, fear less, and therefore make it easier for them to grow.
Yeah, that's very good advice. A big part of our audience actually are entrepreneurs that do put together or in the process of putting together their own courses, training programs, membership sites, webinars. A number of them have come from the service industry. They've been consultants. They've been knowledgeable people, but have had sort of balked at the fact of trying to put it into a packaged form. And some of the advice you just gave about not being perfect and getting things into a product in 60 days or 90 days is sort of some of the things we've talked about before. But to hear you actually say that you've done it is I think very useful and very inspirational for the people listening.
I'll give them one more if you want. I made this connection first when I started doing videos. I shot my first weekly video in July 2009, And I thought, you know, all right, if I'm going to be, you know, a business coach or whatever, I need to be somewhat professional. Now, I'm a very loose, carefree guy. I happen to know some good things about business, but I love to laugh. And I'm just like we're doing now. This is me, right? This is not stage gym. This is just gym. So, but when I was doing these videos, Jeff, I felt like I needed to be a little more serious. So, you know, the serious face and, hey, this is Jim. I'm going to talk to you about blah, 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 blah. And then it was about 2 months into that. I knew enough that I said we should be shooting videos in other places than just the standard torso shot at your desk. So I live by a lake and I like kayaking. So I took my camera, a little flip camera, into my kayak, put it on a little tripod in the cup holder, and I was shooting videos, and people started responding to that. Well, the third time I was getting in my kayak, I slipped and I fell in the water. Now, the camera wasn't on. Nobody saw it. Of course, I look around and see if anybody saw it. But I start paddling away, and I go right into, hey, it's Jim Palmer. I'm going to share with you, blah, blah, blah. And there's a little voice in my head said, tell him what happened. So I said, hey, by the way, you know, I slipped on some green mossy stuff. I fell in the water, got my camera up in the air. I protected that, but I'm a little cold. It's actually pretty chilly, but you know what? The show must go on. Jeff, that for within 90 days of me doing these videos, that was the first time I probably generated at least 15 likes, comments, responds, whatever. Mm. And it wasn't lost on me. What I figured out is it's not necessarily the quality of the information that you're going to provide. It's how real and authentic are you being. So if some folks in your audience are holding back on creating that training program or course, whatever it is, because you feel like I just got to nail it, I got to know it so I do it really well, you're going to make more of a connection with your audience. In turn, they're going to respond, they're going to feel more connected to you, probably buy more stuff, probably refer more if they feel they have an actual human connection with you. If they just want pure content, they can go Google, they can look, they can watch video. But what you're looking for, people will come to you for the content, but they're going to stay with you for who you are. So just be your authentic self and not worry about it.
Excellent advice. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're finding now. I mean, as everyone becomes their own media company and sort of gets themselves, you know, has free reign to get themselves out there, should be getting themselves out there, you know, that's going to be even more true as we move forward.
Agreed.
Excellent. So let's shift into marketing real quick. And if you can share with some of the people, what's the best technique you feel, if someone was to focus on one technique, you know, or one platform for the next couple of weeks or few weeks, what should that be in your opinion? What have you seen sort of the biggest bang for the buck and on your side?
If I had to lose everything, books, speaking, you know, podcasts, interviews, all courses, whatever, the number one thing I would love to keep is videos, because videos are a way where people get to know who you are. Mm. Old expression, they get a full measure of who you are. Now, you know, if they're reading your book, they can get an idea from the written word. If they're listening to you, like we're doing now on a podcast, they can hear some of my voice, how I change tonality, or I get enthusiastic, or whatever it is. But when they're watching you on video for any period of time, they feel like they get to know who you are. Right. And people really want to know who you are before they're going to trust you with any of their money. So videos are super important. But the one thing I would, you know, when you ask me the question for the next few weeks, it is everything about marketing is relationship based, not necessarily time based, although they work together. You know, I probably did videos for well over a year before I had, not a big numbers counter, but before I had a couple hundred people watching. On average, I'm probably about 1,500 people watch my videos this week, each week. But it's a slow growing thing. So if somebody was to like, I want to try videos for a couple months and see what happens, don't even start, because it's going to be a long, slow building process. And the more value you do, the more engaging you are, I think it'll help speed it up. But probably two of the most important words about growing a business are consistency and persistency.
Right. So video, yeah, absolutely. Video, so that you can communicate and engage at maximum with your audience. They get to know you, as you mentioned, authenticity. They get to see you, but be in it for the long run. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I started my videos, this was in 2009. That's when that Kodak flip cam came out. You flip up the little lens. And everybody started doing them, even friends of mine. I mean, so many people are launching their weekly web TV show. As far as I can tell, all those people have, because it's hard. I mean, it is hard every single week, week in and week out. So, but if you can do it, that's how you're going to build an audience. People respect people that are consistent marketers and not just, oh, you know, I'm going to do it as the spirit moves me or as cash flows, whatever spirit is. If it's just a knee-jerk reaction, people will pick up on that.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Cool. So let me finish up here maybe as we near the end of our time. I'm going to give you two just kind of rapid-fire questions and just let me know what comes to your head. Biggest mistake that you can say you would have made since you started, you know, back in when you lost your job. What would be the biggest mistake?
Not trusting myself. It has to be two. Not trusting myself and not investing in myself. Mm. You know, a lot of business owners think, well, I'm the owner now. I know everything. And when I joined my first mastermind group in 2006, it was like $400 a month. It was money I really didn't have. And but I knew the value of being in that group. And I think I held off for at least a year longer than I should have. But it's not trusting your gut. I mean, your gut, call it your gut, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, is so fine-tuned to what the right thing to do is. It's when you go with your heart and not your gut. You know, if somebody says, oh, hey, we're going to do this great JV, and your gut's telling you, nah, I'm not so sure I want to partner with this guy. I don't know anything about him. But your heart's going, oh, yeah, it could be great. Could be a lot of cash flow, you know. Right. And you got to go with your gut.
Go with your gut and be conscious of fears that may mask that, I guess, as well.
Exactly. The fear, the word fail might be a little strong, but failure is an event. It's not a title. So you don't, if you fail at something, doesn't mean you're a failure. It means, well, that didn't work. Let's pick ourselves up and try something else, right? So that's something that holds a lot of people back, and it actually held me back. I should have been doing live events probably 3 years earlier than when I originally started, but, you know, it's not a head trash.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think there's many people listening to this who are in the exact same spot where they're trying to, whether it's, you know, cutting their first video, producing their first product, or whether it's going live for the first time. It's you know, just fear can hold them back for years and at times. And what would you say if you had to sort of give people one action to sort of start today that you know, as you mentioned, you'll have to stick with anything, but if there was one thing that you would recommend them taking action on today, what would that be?
I would say accept the fact that making yourself better at what you do is not going to make you a wealthy person. It doesn't matter if you're an accountant and you can add numbers like faster and better and more accurately than the other 300 accountants in your trading area. It doesn't matter. The person who's going to do better than you at creating a dream business is the guy who's got guy or gal who's got the best brand and the best positioning. So it's not about who you are. It is about what you do. And the people that are doing really, really well, they have a great brand and great persona, and they push themselves out there in a number of different ways. And so if it was one action step, it's come to grips with the fact that you don't have to be best at what you do. I mean, when I branded myself the newsletter guru all those years ago, I never went to journalism school. I never had one art class. I was all self-taught. It did freak me out a little bit when I started going to events where I had a booth and it said newsletter guru on there. I'm like, somebody's going to walk up and go, where'd you go to art school? You know, yeah. I never went to art school. I just called myself the newsletter guru. It never happened, by the way. That's some of that head trash. But, you know, just accept the fact that constantly improving yourself, not that that's a bad thing, but it really is all about the brand and the position you have and really good marketing.
Right. Decide just to jump in and get moving.
That's it. By the way, the title for that book, somebody asked me a couple years ago, it was kind of that what's the one thing type question you get a lot, but it wasn't what I thought. He goes, Jim, what's the one word, if you were to describe what separates highly successful entrepreneurs from all the other average entrepreneurs, could there be one word? And I said, yeah, it's decide. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, highly successful business owners have the ability It's almost an uncanny ability to recognize an opportunity or a challenge or a problem, quickly ascertain the yes, no, maybe, good, pros, cons, whatever, and then decide. You decide yes or no, and you move forward. Indecision is the opposite, and growing businesses thrive on momentum, and indecision is a business momentum killer.
Absolutely. Excellent advice. I really appreciate you taking the time. Maybe if is there a resource or two you wanted to let people know about? And I know you have an event coming up. Maybe you want to just talk for a few seconds on that.
I do. You know, the resource, I'd love to give anybody of your listeners a free copy of the book Decide. We're kind of in launch mode. This is actually edition two. We did launch the book a year ago and got such great feedback. I added two more chapters and we're in the relaunch mode. So it's a 200-page paperback. We'll mail it to you. The only thing we'd ask is that your listeners would pay $6.95 shipping and handling, but the book is absolutely free.
Right.
Jeff, if they want to get a copy of that, it's at decideforsuccessbook.com, decideforsuccessbook.com. And thanks for asking about my live event. That's pretty exciting. We got like 12 seats left. I run kind of a small, intimate group. It's about 50 people or less, so it really is a hard stop once we have 12 more seats. It's in San Diego, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it's a really good, it's 100% content, pitch-free zone. There's no order forms. It's 100% teaching. And I get very, just like I've been here on your show and in the book, I get very transparent. I pull back the curtain on my business. This is what I did. These are the things I've done. This is what I'm doing today. So it's a pretty cool event. Would love to have some of your listeners there.
Yeah, and that runs in May.
It's May 4th, 5th, and 6th. And the info is at Dream Biz Academy. DreamBizAcademy.com.
Excellent. Yeah, it sounds like – I think it was in San Diego too, right? So it sounds like
– Beautiful San Diego. It's a heck of a long flight for me. But, you know, the thing is people on the West Coast don't want to travel east and people on the east don't want to go all the way west. So I alternate. I go back and forth, East Coast, West Coast.
Ah, gotcha. That sounds excellent. Yeah, so we just skimmed the surface. We just touched on a few things today. It sounds like, you know, obviously based on what we heard today – there's a lot more to learn from both your experience and your teachings. So I urge people to head over to those sites and your main site, getjimpalmer.com. Lots of, I was up there, lots of free content, lots of videos, et cetera. People can get to know you a little bit better. So I really appreciate your time today.
And my pleasure, Jeff. I love your show, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate it. So we'll get you back on maybe after your event and see how that went.
I would love to do that. Have me back anytime. Would love to come back.
All right.